Just So You Know podcast, here to give everyone a chance to let someone know just how much they mean to them. Welcome back, everyone, to the Just So You Know podcast. We're back with another guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Sydney, and I'll be a senior at Jenison.
Wow. Crazy.
Yes, it is.
Crazy. What's your biggest excitement heading into your senior year?
I don't know. I think, like, it's just crazy to think that, like, some of the things are going to be, like, a last, like, opportunity, yeah. Which is, like, kind of scary.
Yeah.
But, like, to see my growth, I think, has been, like, a big thing, especially, like, just in my faith, but also, like, with my friend group, like, and just how we've grown. And then just to think about different relationships that have lasted for so long that I believe that will last for more. It's just, like, exciting. And this year, I just feels like another step to be an influence at the school and to, like, just not lose sight of that, I guess.
Yeah.
But so I'm just excited and working to live in the moment.
Yeah. It's the weird season of life where you're hopeful and excited for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes rushing there a little bit too fast in your mind, but also, like, yeah, the last of every single thing, last first day of school and the last homecoming and last, you know, it's a weird feeling. Done it twice.
Yeah. So it was really weird to think that, like, because I was thinking about just, like, for some rude reason, I think I want to work at Texas Roadhouse.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know why.
Why is that?
I just think I would like it there. Like,
the rolls? Like, or, like, what's
sure,
compelling?
I'll take rolls home at the end of the shift. I don't know. But then I was, like, thinking, like, yeah, once, like, school's done. Because, like, and then I was, like, shoot, we get done earlier.
Yeah, you do.
Like, in May. And I was, like, that really hit me.
Yep.
And I just, like, didn't know what to think about that. But, yeah, I might be at Texas Roadhouse. Never know.
Hey, anyone in the at the Granville Texas Roadhouse, Sydney will be there in May bringing you some rolls to your table. So if you need the roll hookup, you know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. Just randomly, you're just sort of thinking, Texas Roadhouse sounds like a great place to work. Like, what?
I don't know. I've had, like, the desire to do it for, like, a little while.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Part of me just thinks I would like that environment.
Define the Texas Roadhouse environment that you feel like would be enjoyable.
So, I need a busy, fast-paced environment.
Okay.
Like, at work. Currently, I work at Palermo, for those who don't know. And it can be slow, like, absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah.
And because I don't have social media or anything right now, like, I just stand there. Like, I will literally just stand there. And so, yeah, I'll just stand there, like, waiting, like, just figuring out what I can clean next, where I can sweep, where I haven't yet, and, like, all those things. So I just think it would be a fun, fast-paced environment.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And I also, I don't know, my mom bartended and paid a lot for her college that way.
Wow.
And so I kind of have thought about, like, doing that maybe. Like, I just think I would like the, like,
the fast-paced life.
The fast-paced life, but also, like, always being with people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a very people person when I work.
Chatting with customers.
Yeah.
Bringing them to their table.
I think there's some situations with being a bartender that I would struggle with.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I think even just being a hostess there would be fun, or a server. Mm-hmm. So
that feels reasonable.
Yeah.
You brought it up first, so I'm going to ask about it. What do you feel like has been the most positive impact and negative impact of being a high schooler without social media?
Yeah. So I have never downloaded it. I only have like YouTube and Pinterest. If people want to count that, they can, but I don't.
but you be scrolling through Pinterest, so don't even act like
it. Yeah, I have a Pinterest addiction. We're working on that.
It's okay. Most of your generation has an addiction to Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok.
Oh, I hate Snapchat. Like,
so
with
I'm.
Passion.
I think that Pinterest might feel a little bit more viable.
Yeah. So, I have never really like pushed for social media. Like as a kid, my parents always said like, "Oh, when you're 16," it got to my 16th birthday. I think I maybe joked about like, "Oh, I can get like Instagram now,"
yeah.
And didn't even like. Really be like, okay, can I like actually get it?
Yeah.
Like I never really pushed for it. I personally really just see social media as a very like negative thing. Like but like getting ready for college or just like I've thought about business and things like that too. Like it is very involved in the work like
course. For sure.
So like it's really hard because like even this year I'm going to be a DECA officer and part of like my position is posting on social media.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how I'm going to navigate that. I was going to buy like maybe an iPad or something and maybe still will, but with my car being in the shop. I don't know.
New financial decisions being made.
Yeah. So we'll figure it out. I mean, worst case scenario too, like my mom has like accounts and I could always log in on the account, but it's just more of like working like past through those things, like seeing all your friends have it and seeing what they post and like wanting to know if they ever post me, like and I can't see that stuff. And so like whenever someone's like, "Sydney, you were posted for this or whatever," I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Like
that
or like
so,
"Oh, I just saw like these photos of you like so pretty," or whatever. I'm like, "You gotta tell me what photos you're referring to, because I don't know."
Like, I've never seen that picture in my life, actually.
Well, yeah, it's just, so, it, like, I really, I've never really pushed for it, and I think part of it's just because, like, I've seen so many people struggle with, like, insecurities just from it.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing that it's such, like, a world problem.
Yeah.
That, like, it's just not something that I want to get into, but I think it also has been a pride thing.
Mm.
Like, it's like, I've been able to do without it for so long that, like, if I have to get it, it's like I'm giving up my streak.
Yeah.
And so...
So you are still a part of your generation and keeping a streak.
Yeah.
Very different streak.
Very different
same thought process, though.
Yeah, but... Yeah, that was something that I kind of, like, came up with because, like, with the DECA position, like, having to get social media, it's like I'm breaking that streak.
Hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
What's the fear in breaking a streak?
It's more of, like, I think I do see, like, not having social media as an accomplishment. Because I didn't get sucked in to, like, that downward spiral that everyone else is stuck in.
So what would you say to the people who feel like it's an accomplishment to have like a 2,583 day streak with one of their besties from middle school on Snapchat?
To me, I just don't understand it.
Well, what's the difference?
I know, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like it. What social media can do is it lets your phone become a person. And so you get so attached to that thing. Like, I think that's the issue with, like, kids being grown up on iPads and all these things is then when it has to get pulled away from them, they fight for it because they want it and they see it as something that they need. And so I just feel like social media can become one of those things where, like, you do just keep scrolling and then you desire all these things. And I will say Pinterest does that too. Like, and... So, like, I just never, like, had the desire to want to, like, add those things. And I think in some way it does have to do with, like, having fear of creating more, like, issues mentally.
What do you think has been, I mean, in our generation, we just know that people have made statements about us being the most anxious generation, us being the most lonely generation, things of that nature. In your life, what do you feel like social media or the lack thereof has conditioned you towards having maybe less anxiety, more anxiety. What do you think that social media, as someone who doesn't have it, is like, you know, old people will be like, social media is why all these kids have anxiety. Mm. And you're someone who doesn't have social media. How's that impacted your life? Do you feel like that's the end all be all answer that yeah. some people over the age of 50 probably think it is?
So, well, it's interesting that you bring that statement up, because I'm completely surprised that people blame it just on social media.
Yeah.
Because it is not just from social media. I've been a very anxious person before for different things, and they're not from social media things.
Yeah.
And I think we have to realize that it can be a cause, and I think it can be a trigger.
True.
Because a lot of people can just be scrolling and be like, because what people post is what they want people to see.
Yeah.
They never post the hard things, and when they do, it doesn't stay there for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just, I don't know, like, people just get so caught up in, like, oh, I want to go to this trip because that person's in Spain, or,
yeah.
like, this person's always doing this, or this person's yeah. always wearing this. And it's just, like, you create that in your mind, and that can bring your insecurity and your anxiety. But, like, you can still do that walking in the hallway.
Yeah.
That person's wearing this.
Hmm.
Or they're always doing this, or they're always hanging out with this person. I think that's the one thing that Snapchat, I don't really understand. Like, I don't understand the whole, like, picture thing. When I was little, I was like, oh, I just want it for the filters.
Like, yeah.
But one thing I don't like about Snapchat is the snap map. I think
yeah.
it creates so much insecurity in people, because they'll look up, like, who's hanging out with who, and,
yeah.
oh, they didn't invite me, and it's just, like,
yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you feel like if one of those people were sitting in the room that was like, social media has everything to do with why kids feel anxious today, or the influence of that on culture, maybe even is what they would generalize it to, what would you say to that person to maybe give them some insight on your experience as a high schooler,
mm-hmm.
your experience now, like what people are experiencing, and maybe even like some wisdom to that older generation of like how to help kids like us, you know?
Yeah. So I think what I would say to that person is like, yes, does it play a factor? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like, we're as high schoolers going from event to event, having pressure from those events, those people, coaches, teammates. And then you go and you stay up late because you either have homework or you have work or you have both. And then you're trying to spend time with your family and then your friends and then a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And it's just like all these things that keep adding up for someone. And so then you get anxious about, personally for me, of like, what's next? Like, what's going to be the next thing? And it's like, oh, like, this is what I'm doing today, but like, what's happening next month? Like, what's happening next week? Like, it's just like all these different things, and we get stuck in that spiral. And so, yeah, we can get caught up in like what's on social media, but we sometimes just get caught up with what we're actually doing and just get stressed out about like school and just everything that like gets loaded onto us, and we don't allow us to just like take one day at a time.
Yeah. I think that's really wise. What's helpful to you, to students in high school like you who are running from place to place? I think oftentimes adults don't want to put another thing on your calendar, so they don't intrude or invite, I think, is one thing I've noticed. Being in youth ministry in general, I've noticed a lot of people don't like creating more events, or they do create events because they feel like that might be a place for you to come to like not worry about all of those things, but then it still reinforces like, I have to be here at this time, at this thing. What has been helpful? What are helpful things that are in your everyday life or in your flow of your week that is aided by adults or is helped by adults? How can adults like help high schoolers, maybe even by your teachers, some things that they do in the classroom or even like extracurricular coaches that have been helpful to, like, I feel like what you're saying is that life is busy and it's fast. Mm-hmm. And so to, like, pump the brakes a little bit, to press pause, to, like, be a little bit more mindful, like, here and now, would have been some of the helpful things, or that would be potentially helpful, that you haven't seen.
I think it would have to be creating flexibility. Like, I think for us, like, we struggle to say no. Personally, for me, I can struggle to say no sometimes because I think for certain things there's an expectation, and maybe that expectation I just make for myself. And so I think for an adult to, like, explain their expectations, like, more clearly, and just be like, know that this is available, but, like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Like, the other day, I'm going to start at Pinnacle Center in September, and I went in to make my schedule, and the day that we have, like, the retreat for core, yeah, I was, like, wondering or not to, like, work, like, during the day and then, like, come up in the evening, and then she was like, well, if, like, you just don't, like, it can't work that day, just say no. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to. And I was like, okay, no. Like,
yeah,
I just, like, think, like, it's like, oh, like, if I can fit it in, like, let's do it. And it's, yeah, like, but if you, like, you don't have to. Like, yeah. And same with, like, at Palermo, like, with doing cross country, like, I'll probably start working just during the week with them. And I'm like, can I possibly come in at 5:30 instead of 5? Because a starting shift's, yeah, around 5 or 4. And he's like, yeah, we can probably make that work. And they did that last season. So it's, like, constant, like, flexibility and just, like, being able to show that, like, to allow them to just ask those questions. Yeah. Like, that's kind of what I've told myself is, like, it's okay to just ask. If the answer is no, it's no. Like, yeah. And I think so. We fear of that no. Like, yeah, we just think it's going to be a no because it's like, oh, this person has, like, the authority. Like, they're just going to, yeah, probably say no. But it's more of just, like, being open and, like, just really just sharing, like, okay, this is, like, my expectation. Like, And if you can't, like, fulfill that, like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to come to all these things. But, like, we just need to, like, work through it together and, like, know.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, with all, like, and, like, my coaches, too. Like, when it comes to, like, hey, like, I still need to work. Like, I got college to pay for, yeah, whatever's next in front, yeah, of me. And so,
yeah,
and they're, like, flexible about either leaving early or just, it's all very communicative. Like, if you don't communicate, yeah, those things, that's where you're going to lose your flexibility. But, like, I just think that if they allow, like, an environment that you can feel good to, like, communicate and not fear that no.
Yeah.
That, like, that's kind of the biggest thing.
What creates that environment?
I think it would have to do with, like, what works best for you. Like, I've heard employers, like, say that. Like, what works best for you? Like, if you have all this going on, like, what are you thinking you can do?
Yeah.
Because, like, when I was, like, in my interview for Pinnacle, that she said, like, we can work with this. And if you want to stay at Palermo, you can do that too. But, like, what's your expectation? And then these are mine. So, yeah, like, I felt like that was, like, really helpful because it helped me realize that it was, like, obtainable. I just needed to, like, take a minute. Like, yeah, and not, like, think, like, okay, like, I'm starting in September, like, what does that look like? It's more of, like, when I go in to make my schedule, think about it then, like,
yeah.
So I think just opening up that conversation of, like, these are my expectations, and then, like, what are you looking for?
Yeah. I'd say that in knowing you, you've proven yourself to be a really, like, self-aware and mature kid your whole time I've known you for like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And like that was freshman Sydney was still incredibly self-aware, so there's some aspects of that I'm like, I know that that's like Sydney's just maturity is like far beyond her years, but for the kids who are like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, like explain your expectations, like know your capacity, like help and like almost like teach adults how to create a safe environment for those questions to be asked, because you're someone who also initiates, very good initiator and pursuer, and so you're not scared to ask those questions, and even if you are, you find the courage inside of yourself to say like, this is helpful for me, so I need to ask this question,
yeah,
whether I like the answer or not. for the people who their anxiety or even like maybe immaturity manifests in a way where they're unable to ask those questions or like know what their capacity is or know what their expectations need to be, what would your advice be to kids your age who are still trying to like figure that aspect of things out?
Yeah, so I'd say like if you're trying to like figure out like what it, I guess all the practicals like look like.
Yeah.
Like if you're like looking for like a new job, but then you're also like in a sport, I think like the biggest thing is like to just be upfront with like your employer about it.
Yeah.
Like when you're in an interview, they'll ask you about like just like what you do, try and figure out like just even academically too, because like your academics come first and like not your job. And I think for some people that can be like really hard.
Yeah.
Because for some people they do have to set more time aside for that, but like that's okay. And so I think what you have to like kind of just digest is like, what can you like actually do? Like, where's your capacity? What's your limits? Because you have like all these different things, and kind of too, like, what are your parents willing to work with a little bit too?
Yeah.
Because if you can't drive yet but want a job, that's fine, but you got to have communication with your parents and a way to get there. So, like, I think it really just has to do with like what the environment around you looks like at home, but also like just being very communicative and just, yeah, like being aware.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the difference, or what have you learned throughout your life of like, when am I setting a boundary saying like, I can't work on Tuesdays because I need to, after practice, do my homework, because usually Wednesdays are bigger days for sports, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How can you differentiate between a boundary that's like good and helpful for you and just an excuse that you're giving yourself to like, because I think that some adults experience, a lot of kids who are like, you know, the conversation about boundaries and the conversation about those types of things is more apparent now than it's ever been. And I think it's helpful because we're learning how to be self-aware, know our limits, and be able to like care for ourselves a little bit more than we ever been mindful of. But I think that's enabled potentially some excuses in the, it's kind of masked as a boundary. It's like, yeah, I don't have the capacity for this. But in some reality, sometimes you just have to push past that, because that's the reality of becoming an adult. There's just some days you don't want to go to work, but you have to.
Yeah.
So like, what have you found to be like those kind of like alerts or warning labels that are like, nope, this is where I'm learning I don't have capacity, and this is where I'm learning I just have to push through and like just get over my excuses and like push through? Yeah.
So I feel like I'll start with like the pushing through one. So like, there will be times like with work, it's like, oh, like I gotta go like in this week 3 times in a row, or like 4 times in a row, and it's just like, I don't know, like I wasn't really expecting that. And then like, I think what ends up happening for me is like, I sometimes have to prepare myself for work.
Yeah.
Like the first like 30 minutes before work, it will have to be like, okay, like eat, have my water, like I drink a lot of water at work, so like I always have to like be prepared with that. But I think it's more of like finding joy in the little things when you're at work. Like, I think this summer has been really good for me because I've been able to get closer with my coworkers and like just enjoy their silly conversations. Yeah. Even sometimes maybe I don't agree with everything that's said.
Yeah.
It's just more of like, okay, you're just being silly and like just like enjoying that and like letting myself be involved in that, because I think in the beginning, like with just working 2 days a week for maybe 4 hours a week, like I wasn't really involved in the like atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I think that like led me from enjoying work a little bit because like it was just work, I guess. And like, I still enjoy just to work. Like a lot of my coworkers will be like, Sydney's bored because she can't work. And like, yeah. And I do. I do like to work. I like to be busy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, I think it's just like finding the joy in that, and like in like my workplace, like just like I work like up front and not really in the back where people make. And so like,
yeah.
I think this summer with times like being a little slower, like I let myself just kind of go into the back, mm-hmm. and just like actually like be in conversation with those people.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like that was like really good for me. So I guess like my advice for that is like, check yourself and see if like, are you being involved with the people around you? Mm-hmm. Because if you're not involved with the people around you, then maybe that's part of why it just feels like work.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to have friendships at work. Like, I think maybe some people choose to like keep work and friends, you know, but like, I think it's important to like have conversations with those people. And even if it's just at work, like that's okay.
Yeah.
And so I think for the other one of like knowing your boundary and like your limit of like what, like what's too much, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we all
like
are.
Like this year with like doing cross country and two jobs and then like friends, family, everything. Yeah. Like, it's just like a lot. So I think you really have to figure out, I think what like came to me was like, am I making time for myself?
Hmm.
Because if I'm not taking time for myself or, like, time for the Lord, like,
how
is that going to help me? Because I think part of, like, my anxiety or stress comes from, like, not taking time to pause.
Yeah.
Like, I don't take time to pause. So I think something that you have to be aware of is if your schedule is becoming so much that, one, your time with the Lord is being, like, taken away.
Yeah.
And two, if, like, you just like find that like you're not doing the things for yourself that you used to.
Yeah.
Like if your hobbies are becoming less of what they were, or you're not going to bed by a certain time or things like that, because I do think sleep is very important, even though I'm a night owl.
Me too. Yeah. No, I think that's really wise. It's like, yeah, it's a self-awareness that is helping you in preparation of, you know, even what you're saying as you prepare for work. It's like, I have to make sure that I'm eating dinner, and I have to make sure that I'm getting my water and getting my head in the right space, like setting my expectations for the time that I'm about to be in. Because if my heart's not in the right space, I'm just going to dread it the whole time. And that's going to be even more exhausting. And it's like in adulthood, my counselor tells me this all the time. There's things you can do to help you rest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think in high school, that's like the number one thing is like, there's moments of laziness where you're like, I really don't want to do that. But then it like, then you have to do it later. You know, you always have to end up doing the task that you don't want to do.
Right.
And so it's like, how can I, you know, do my laundry on a Saturday so that my Sunday, I don't have to do that anymore? Or like, how can I get groceries and meal prep so that throughout the week I know exactly what I'm going to eat, and so I don't have to like figure it out as I stare blank with a blank stare in my fridge trying to figure out what I'm going to eat. And then that eliminates 35 minutes of like my afternoon where I could just be resting, spending time with God, praying, or even like being with my friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature that, you know, add some stuff in that. So I'm hearing you say there's a lot of like work to rest.
Yeah.
Like I have to make sure that I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to prioritize time for me to eat. And there I have to know that my body feels healthy and it feels better when I have water in my body. And so I need to make sure that I have my water bottle full, that I'm like doing the things I need in order to be hydrated. Like I need to work to say no to things in the afternoon so that I can be in my room, so that I can go to bed on a time, so I can wake up in the morning and feel rested. And even like we talk about this all the time, but Sabbath, like having a day where you're like, I'm not working at all. Like that's the way that God intended us, which is really hard in high school. It's really hard in college. It's really hard in adulthood. You know, it all has its own challenges, but making sure that like, you know, your Sabbath looks like you have to work to make sure that your Sabbath stays the way that it should, you know, which is holy and full of rest. And so I hear you wrestling with the learning of working towards rest. And I think that's something that, yeah, is fascinating to me. I don't think a lot of adults help high school, middle schoolers, like, learn how to work towards rest or work towards stewarding their time or work towards stewarding their finances so it's not stressful and so it decreases anxiety, you know, all of those types of things. Yeah.
Yes, it is very hard and challenging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think I have, like, even with, like, this season, have really come to, like, a peaceful moment of, like, just knowing that, like, God does really have it.
Yeah.
And that, like, it will be okay. And, like, I have a calendar. Yeah. Because I'm old-fashioned and, like, writing things down. But, yeah, so I do think, like, it has helped me. Like, some people are like, see, I don't know if it's a good idea to get a calendar. Like, are you sure that's going to, like...
You sure you want to look at all that?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, actually, though, having it on the calendar has helped me realize it's not that much.
Yeah.
Like, I think at first I thought it was a lot because, like, in my head. And then, like, my mentor told me, like, how about you just, like, write it. Like, write things down. Like, yep. If you, like, write things down, like, in a list, like, it gets out of your head. Yeah. And she's like, and what me and my friends will do is, like, she'll literally be like, we're going to pop the bubble. Like,
exactly.
Pop the bubble. And yeah. So, like, some of those things has, like, helped me a little bit. And, like, just thinking about, like, commitments, like, I just, like, wrote a list of, like, that or whatever. And it just, like, helped me realize that, like, yes, like, those things might be a lot, and, like, I started things that, like, were really important to me, and that list was still long.
Yeah.
But I think, like, just being aware and, like, finding ways that you can be aware, like, if it is making those lists or having a calendar, like, it's a good thing, and it lets you actually take those, like, out of your mind, and I think that's, like, helped me a lot.
Yeah. Trying to sort out all the pieces and keep them straight in your brain is a hard thing to do sometimes when life is moving as fast as it does. So yeah, I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful. It's so helpful.
It is.
One of the questions that Rita Springer, she's a worship leader, I look up to her so much. She's just super wise and has been like a mother in the faith to so many different people in the worship world. But now she, you know, has a podcast, and so I get to learn from her along the way too. But one of the things she's articulated is that a question that she frequently asks people is, what's your burning? And what she means by that is, what's the thing that you burn for? Like, what's the thing that you like can't sleep at night sometimes because you're thinking about, and not in an anxious way, but in like a, this is what gets me up in the morning at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the change I want to see in the world. This is like the giftings that are inside of me that I feel like, I want to use to impact the people in the world around me, those types of things. And through that, I've been able to articulate that I'm like, that with like other people and other like ways that this question has been asked to me, one of like the kingdom inspired identities that I feel like God's spoken over me, and like what my burning is to be someone who voyages to truth, someone who like fights to like find what the truth is and enjoy the journey along the way to finding it. But we've also recognized that like, what Rita talks about is that there's like a clear opposition against that, which usually our burning has something that directly is opposite of it, which we constantly feel as well. So for me, I hate it when people lie to me. I hate it when people aren't truthful and when they're not authentic. I hate it when I see any like lying come out of me because it feels really gross to me. I hate that. And so I'm like, dang, like that's a really cool question. I want to start asking it more frequently because I've realized like it's how God created me, but it's also like how the enemy attacks me is like to surround me sometimes with lies. And so I have to figure out what's true or what's not. With all of that, when you think about your life, when you think about your giftings, when you think about what your mind dwells on and what you are passionate about, what's your burning?
That's a really deep question.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I think what has maybe like become more, and like maybe just like you asking the question has like sparked it more, and probably like for it to be more of a desire.
Yeah.
Is like to really just like be that influence in like someone's life. Like not even really just like pushing like the gospel on them like so much. I think what I've heard throughout like my whole entire life since like I was really little is like, Sydney, there's something different about you. Like you're different. And I think maybe that's like the thing that drives me, like even if I'm not like really like conscious about it, like I know that like God is like using me. And so like I think like even going into work, like I'll pray before work, like God, like use me as an influence, allow me to be that difference, because like at work I will hear like, oh, Sydney, like you're different, or like you're too holy. Like I walked in one day and people were standing like right by the door and they're like, oh, there's the holy one. And I'm like, oh boy. I already know how this is gonna go. So like I don't know, like I think like, and I've never been like insulted by the word different, I guess. Like I was kind of like, okay, like I'm like, I know, like I like think that like being so, like when people like comment that, I think like I'm glad that they're able to like notice, because I think it shows that they're curious.
Well,
and so I guess I want to keep burning for that difference that I hold, because like other people are seeing it, and maybe sometimes like I don't even realize that like I did something. Like I did something. And so like I think it's a really cool way that God's been able to use me, because I don't directly like sometimes always share my beliefs, but because I don't do certain things that other people are doing, like I don't swear, I don't vape, I don't drink, like I just think like some people like realize that like, oh, like she's not like the typical high schooler. And like even like when I was little, like my mom would even say, like she has a story from like when I was 10, like I don't know, like she maybe she was struggling with something or whatever, because I don't really remember the situation, but I said like, oh, it's okay, it's just like a bump in the road, like it'll be okay. I said that all the time. I knew I said that all the time, like it's just a bump in the road, like God's got it, like it's okay. And like she's like, that's not normal for a 10-year-old to say that. And so I think like he has like really held that like in me, and I think like maybe I don't like realize that a lot either, that like by not like just, because a lot of people choose to go out and speak and be bold, but I think our actions can also tell us a lot too.
For sure.
And so I think that's like my burning thing, is to be that difference, and that's what drives me in the morning.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's true, too. So many people have said that about you. I've said that about you. You wrote a letter.
Yes, it did.
I think oftentimes there's people in our lives that have formed us to be the difference, you know? And I think that when I look at my life, my parents are huge people who are like humble learners. They like always love growing, and so it makes a lot of sense to me when I think about how my burning has been shaped to be someone who voyages towards truth, is that my parents are like super authentic, and they're like, they kind of shoot it straight sometimes. The Nibors, we don't really have a filter, so that is also a downside of that as well. But I've seen how they have shaped the burning inside of me. And that's a gratitude that I want to like oftentimes speak over them, and consistently have that be on my lips. So would you explain who you wrote yours to, maybe how it's impacted your burning a little bit before we read the letter?
Yeah. So I chose Michaela.
Aww.
We've been best friends since the third grade, and I just feel like she's made such an impact on my life, especially since we've had some, like, challenges over the years. It's definitely not been easy, and with her, like, switching schools and everything, it's definitely a lot, and I didn't know how that was going to end up. But to just see God be so faithful through it, of, like, us never losing touch, has just been such a blessing.
Yeah.
And I've always been like a believer, but I feel like she like helped me like realize like what it actually like looks like to be a believer. Whoa. And for it to be like my own choice.
Whoa.
And so I just felt like she was someone that had great impact because she has been that person to go to for advice, and she has been that person that sparked that like I've seen her so bold like in her faith and open conversation with people that allowed me to like bring like faithful conversations into play, because it was like, well, if she's just like not hesitating and not like worried about it, then like why should I be? So I just feel like that was like really encouraging.
That's sweet.
Michaela, just so you know, God has truly blessed me with such an amazing, long-lasting friendship. It's crazy that we have been friends since the third grade and that this year we will be graduating high school. You have been a friend I can always lean on and go to for anything. You have helped me in my faith journey as I grew up in a Christian home, and I have always been a believer, but you helped me realize that it's my own path to take and how it can impact others. You are a huge light to those around you. Your boldness encouraged me to want to share the gospel to those who don't know it and to be more open about my faith to people in open conversations. You have always been able to be serious in the serious moments, but boy, life sure isn't dull with you in it. We can be super silly and goofy together. It will be a late summer night, and I can call you at 9 p.m. asking for you to come over and spend the night. We had so many dance parties, but the one that's my favorite is the time that we made a bunch of silly TikToks, and your mom was painting the bathroom downstairs and had no idea what we were doing. But all she could hear was the joy and laughter filling the room. Oh, and the one time your mom dyed her hair purple and pink. Our hair has been through a lifelong journey together, from having bobs in third grade to dyeing it in the fifth grade to us now telling each other that if we ever have the tendency to chop it off, that we have to tell each other and that we have to make them stop because we know we don't want to do it. You're also probably the best Dutch braider I know, so much so I always get a headache from it because it's too tight, but I don't think I've ever told you that. We have had all these fun memories and more, but also some challenges, but God has been so faithful, because throughout all of our challenges with switching schools and being homeschooled, he never let us lose touch, and I'm so grateful for that. You have been such a strong influence in my life, and God has truly been able to show me that through the big changes of life, he has given me a friendship that won't give up. Through the challenges, we have walked through them together, cried through them together, talked them together, and gave each other comfort through the thick and thin. So Michaela, just so you know, you have been such a blessing to me and someone I hope to never lose. I love you so much. Thank you for all the joy you have brought into my life, and thank you for the guidance and life-giving advice you have given me throughout the years. It has helped me become the person I am today. I believe that God will continue to use you in so many big ways. Don't ever lose sight of him. Love, Sydney.
Well, Sydney, just so you know, I've been radically shaped by doing life next to you, genuinely. I can be flaky sometimes, and through doing life with you, I've learned to be consistent, truly mean what I say. I've been held accountable to the things that I do, and I don't think there's a lot of adults who can say that about kids that have been around them. Your difference that you show in community is something that when you bring it to the table, people are changed because of it. And I've seen my like reliability, my responsibility, my ability to create a safe environment for people to come and ask the questions that you've been bold enough to ask me before it was a safe place to do that, has radically shifted. I've learned what I needed and how to communicate expectations well because of you. And more than anything, I've learned that when you're in the room, that people feel safe. And I think it's because God has called you to, you know, live a set apart life so much so that it invites other people to live a similar life to you. It's your permission slip to many people. And as someone who's felt like that myself towards other people, it's encouraging to watch other people be like that for their friends as well. And I'm really grateful for the time that we've been able to spend together. I'm grateful for all the the meetings and the nacho tables and the cake on my floor because of people like you. But I've been grateful for the legacy that you've left at Jenison, the impact that you've had inside of this home where we're recording this, and on the lives of so many of the kids that are younger than you that are going to continue to, you know, do similar things as you because you've given them permission to do so. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Any lasting words for our number one fans out there listening?
I just stay true to yourself. Never let anyone else define you because God does, most importantly, but no one else does. So enjoy life.
Amen. Be different, everyone. Until next time.
Bye. That's why I say thanks.